at the bottom of the hour. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the Line of Fire. But first, we have a very special guest to talk about a very important topic. I've written about this. We spoke about it at length yesterday. Amazon banning the books of the late Dr. Joseph Nicolosi Sr. And the books are being banned because they allegedly promote harmful therapy called conversion therapy. And Amazon is doing the right thing in banning these dangerous books. We've said, hey, this will lead to banning the Bible because it's the Bible that speaks of the possibility of change. We really need to find out what's going on, what this talk about conversion therapy really is, where the witch hunt is, which direction should this be going, why we should be concerned. So I'm about to speak with Dr. Joseph Nicolosi Jr., PhD, licensed clinical psychologist in California, founder of the Reintegrative Therapy Association, nonprofit organization, has given expert testimony on matters of clinical psychology and sexual fluidity in multiple states in the United States. He's trained under his father, Joseph Nicolosi Sr., for over a decade. He's the author of the Reintegrative Protocol, which was published last year in the Journal of Human Sexuality. The website, reintegrativetherapy.com. Joseph, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Great to have you on again.
It's an honor to be back. Thank you.
Let's just set the record straight about one thing before we set the record straight about many other things. I only had one meal with your dad years ago at a North conference, and hanging out with your dad, getting to know him a little better. Your dad was anything but a religious fundamentalist. His approach to these issues was one of a clinical psychologist, one of a trained therapist. If someone wanted to label a person a religious fundamentalist, they could throw something at me for, you know, for quoting scripture. But his thing was not, we're going to quote the Bible to you until you change. He was looking at this as a professional trained therapist. So what in the world is going on, and why, sir, should we really be alarmed?
Well, what's going on is that we have a method that helps people, that helps them resolve trauma and underlying issues, underlying dynamics. People who were sexually abused when they were young, and they believe that that led to the development of their same-sex attractions. We have an effective method that helps them. The science is on our side, not the radical, hard-left LGBTQ side. We know now more than ever from neuroscience that our brains have the capacity to wire and rewire themselves based on our life experiences. And the areas that are related to sexual preference are the areas that we know change over time. And there's more data than ever about this. So both scientific consensus and even public opinion now, because more young people are saying they believe in the concept of sexual fluidity, we're seeing a tide. But Amazon and other big LGBT, well-funded LGBT groups are working to suppress this information, and they're trying to ban our books. And that's the newest development that's been going on this week.
All right, so when we talk about banning books, there was concern when AB 2943 in California was being put forward that would ban all professional help for those with unwanted same-sex attraction and gender identity confusion of any age. And some of us said, well, are they going to ban the Bible? Because they even talked about literature and things like that. And then the question about books that could be banned, FRC had pictures of books that could be banned, including your dad's books. And people mock us, it's never going to happen. And here you have an actual bookseller that sells every kind of book under the sun, banning these particular books. So is it dangerous? I mean, is this some practice that should really be outlawed, and people are getting hurt, and it's terrible, and Amazon's doing the right thing to ban this? Set the record straight on that.
Absolutely not. There's so much evidence that people's sexuality can change, even within a relatively short period of time. More and more studies have acknowledged this. Even the American Psychological Association in 2014 finally came forward and admitted this, that people's sexuality can change. So this is a threat to many people in the hard left LGBT movement. And it's interesting because most people who identify as LGBTQ, when I talk to them, they don't find it threatening for a person to leave homosexuality. It really seems to be the far-left leaders of this movement that are really afraid of people leaving homosexuality, because we're exposing their hypocrisy, the hypocrisy that they welcome people into the gay community, but then they try to block those same people when they try to leave.
Mm. So in point of fact, when you say that there are proven methods and things like that, what do you engage in? The way things are represented, kids are sent off against their will to some camp where they're tortured. Adults are subject to shock treatment and humiliation and things like that. These are the myths that are out there. I even had a follower of mine on Facebook say, "Dr. Brown, I really respect what you do, but look, all this shock treatment stuff's got to go." And I thought, what in the world are you talking about? So what do you actually do?
Right.
What is the method of helping people with unwanted same-sex attraction?
Right. Well, anyone who really wants to look very carefully to get a very in-depth answer can just go to reintegrativetherapy.com. We have our information there. We published in the Journal of Human Sexuality within the last year, the reintegrative protocol, where we show people step-by-step what we're doing. That will be free to the public soon, and we're going to release it on our website in a matter of months. But essentially, clients come in, they talk about their stories, and we have a method that works with when they talk about their most powerful sexual fantasy. We have a method of looking at what unmet emotional needs are behind it. And once the client surfaces those unmet emotional needs, we use a standard accelerated trauma method. These are methods that are used really in other clinics throughout the world, just accelerated trauma treatment. We resolve whatever trauma the client mentions is behind his needs, and afterwards he notices spontaneously, without any effort, his sexual attraction has decreased. So I'll give you a specific example of a man who came to me yesterday and gave me an example like this. So I said, okay, well, let's explore this just in a neutral way. Let's explore, what is your most powerful sexual fantasy? And he described to me in detail the kind of guy he was attracted to. He told me about the sexual scenario. He was able to really feel the feeling in the moment. And when it was really strong, when he was really in that state of arousal, I said, good. Now go outside yourself. Look in your own eyes. What do you see? And he said, oh, in that moment, I looked so content and happy. And I said, good. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Oh, I see this longing for a man to finally pay attention to me, to love me, to hold me. I see this hunger in my eyes. I said, good. Keep looking. Keep looking. What do you see behind that? Oh, he said, I see vast emptiness, emptiness and emptiness and emptiness. I said, look into that emptiness. When have you felt that way before? And he gave me a list of memories. Well, we do standard trauma reprocessing. And soon after, he's saying, in fact, he went back to the original fantasy at the end of the session and he laughed. He said, it doesn't even seem arousing to me anymore. I'm not interested. I see what was behind it. And I don't tell these people what's behind their homosexuality. We have a method that spontaneously, organically let those unmet needs rise to the surface where we can become aware of it, and we do standard reprocessing. Our method is faster and more powerful than ever before, and that's why people are threatened by us.
So when you talk about these things and you talk about standard methodology, obviously others who've been through counseling have had some type of trauma. Maybe it becomes fear-related, they can't do certain things, they have panic attacks, or maybe it's something that manifests in a post-traumatic stress disorder or something like that. It's a standard method where you're trying to go back and discover the root of where this is coming from. Well, again, let me play the devil's advocate, but isn't there a gay gene? Isn't this something like in the blood? So what do these memories and traumas have to do? If someone's born gay, how can you change them?
There's no gay gene. That's a great question. There's no gay gene. There's a couple reasons that we know this. Here's why. If there were any gene that would instruct an organism in any ecosystem, if there were a gene that instructed the organism not to try to reproduce with members of the opposite sex, but it should instead attempt to do so with members of the same sex, that gene would by nature not be passed down. It would be a de facto self-destruct gene. Number one. Number two is genes don't even work that way. There's no one single gene that controls a person's sexuality. Sexuality is very complex. And we know, and even the American Psychological Association has been acknowledging this, we know that sexuality can change over the course of our lives, and it's related to our early childhood experiences. I see this again and again and again, specifically more than ever with clients who were sexually abused. Those clients are just able to link it to specific memories more easily.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, folks need to know, if they will check the websites of the two APAs, American Psychological Association and American Psychiatric Association, both of which are very, very liberal, with tremendous LGBT influence, They say we don't really know the cause of homosexuality, and it seems to be a combination of this and this, et cetera, and they even admit to the possibility of change. So if anyone was going to say that you're born this way and you can't change, they would be the ones to say it. And yet you have an increasing number of people, as you mentioned, scientifically, and then young people open to the notion of sexual fluidity. I've often cited lesbian activist researcher Lisa Diamond on this, and someone said, well, she doesn't agree with conversion therapy and she doesn't like the way her work's being used, but she's just being quoted accurately that the data says many people can change.
That's right. Absolutely right. A new study showed that 28% of men who identified as gay admitted at times they do have some heterosexual attractions, romantic or sexual attractions over the course of their life. They've had that. And the researcher said to these people, well, why don't you just call yourself bisexual? And they say, no, I'm gay. And they say, yeah, but you've admitted this. You've had some heterosexual attractions. And so it's just interesting. It's this, we've attached a gay label to people, assuming that individuals exist in these exact perfect categories that are lifelong categories. It's not the scientific truth.
Yeah. All right. Friends, we come back. I want to talk about what we can do to push back against this. Explore this more with Dr. Nicolosi. Those of you that are struggling yourself with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion, or maybe a family member struggling, we want to point you to good resources and let Dr. Nicolosi help give you some encouragement and hope in the midst of this. If you have a question for Dr. Nicolosi, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, this is serious. We're not just talking about wanting to help people. We're talking about an all-out assault on being able to help people, where a client is not allowed to get the help that they want from a professional. This is unprecedented, and it's deadly serious. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My friends, we've warned about it for years. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. And one of the greatest threats to LGBT activism is that people can change. One of the strongest arguments used by the activists is this is innate and immutable. We're born this way. We can't change. This is no different than skin color. Therefore, there should be fundamental rights based on sexual orientation or gender identity. The fact that people can change is a massive threat to the movement. Hence, this all-out attempt to ban professional therapy. Now this attempt to ban books. Where will it go next? I'm speaking with Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, Jr., Joseph, where did you do your studies? What did you get your PhD in?
I got my PhD from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology.
Got it. And what was your focus there?
Clinical psychology. So I have a Bachelor of Science, Master of Science, and PhD, all psychology, clinical psychology. I've been marinating in this topic my whole life.
Got it. Yeah. So again, When you speak, you're obviously simplifying things for us, and you're practical in your counseling, but you've got massive academic research behind this. Are there actually peer-reviewed studies, reputable studies that show that change is possible? And on the flip side, has it been demonstrated and proven that so-called conversion therapy is harmful?
Well, there are definitely studies that support what we're doing. Anyone can just go to reintegrativetherapy.com. reintegrativetherapy.com and click on the science. And we have a whole list of information about this. We have an infographic which summarizes it. And if you want to go deeper, if you want to do a deep dive into the empirical literature and look at the primary sources and the psychological literature, we have all of that there as well. There's a ton of data, an avalanche of data out there. But what we often see, to your second question, is when you talk about the topic of harm, LGBT activists and Hollywood writers who depict this, they constantly conflate therapeutic approaches with non-therapeutic approaches. So mm-hmm. Some guy goes to a camp and, you know, someone throws the Bible at him and says, stop being gay. They call that, oh, that's conversion therapy.
Right.
So they, and that's what they're using that term in kind of a clever way. because that term, conversion therapy, has no exact definition. There's no ethics code, no governing body. It's a term that really could mean anything. It's a straw man argument. But we use evidence-based approaches, the same approaches used in other clinics throughout the world, to treat trauma and sexual addiction. And as that happens, many individuals notice spontaneous shifts in their sexuality. And that's our focus.
Right. And of course, any spiritual efforts, they're mocked as pray away the gay. So whatever approach is used, praying with someone, professional counseling, the thing's going to be rejected and mocked. And then all the voices of the people who have been changed, they're rejected. So gay activists want us to believe their stories. I tried to change and I couldn't. But they won't believe the stories of people who said, I've experienced change and help. What about the question of gender identity? You've got kids as young as 3 and 4 years old, now more and more identifying as the opposite sex, and parents saying, well, the only thing that made them happy was to let them dress the opposite way and identify the opposite way. Do you address that as well in your clinic?
Yeah, we do. We see this a lot. We're seeing it more and more. There are more young people who are being told in their schools, particularly public schools, that if they even have confusion about their gender, or they don't feel like they fit well in their body, they might be really a male in a female's body or a female in a male's body. This is confusing. First of all junior hires, I mean, I don't know if you remember being back in middle school, but myself, I mean, I remember it's like I didn't feel your body's changing. You don't know up from down. And I wasn't subjected to this, but to have teachers then come along to these kids and say, oh, you know, if you don't feel comfortable in your body, you must be transgender. You might have this, or if you're unsure about these thoughts or feelings, sexual thoughts or feelings, you must be transgender. They're creating a lot of confusion in these kids. And we do see that the majority of these kids, and it's happening younger and younger, but these kids who have gender confusion, generally speaking, it does work out. It does work out on its own, but they're having a lot of negative impact on these kids. And there are new studies showing that many of the people, the young kids who have gender dysphoria, who are distressed about their bodies and are not sure what their gender is, many of them actually are on what's called the autism spectrum.
Yep.
And these kids are particularly susceptible to being confused about this. And so, frankly, I believe, and many others in my field believe, that a lot of the transgender issues that we're seeing right now are actually going to start to work themselves out in about 10 to 20 years from now when the class action lawsuits will begin. Because you're going to get a whole wave of people who said, I was 14 years old and you were injecting me with laboratory-made synthetic hormones. You didn't know what the long-term effect was on my brain or body. You changed my development. You changed how tall I would grow in puberty. I was confused. You gave me pills and you did a lot of damage. And that's going to have a big impact. That's a ticking time bomb waiting to explode in the judicial system.
Yeah, with parents now speaking out about rapid onset gender dysphoria and suddenly their 14, 15-year-old daughter identifying as a boy and wanting to get on hormones. And you've got a case in Canada where the father can't even refer to his 14-year-old daughter as a girl anymore. It can't stop her from hormone treatments. You got a major statement from British physicians saying, well, we need to slow down here because we don't know what we're doing. There's not been adequate research to see the after effects. You got girls now 17 that have had complete mastectomies. And yes, as you said, a lot of them on the autism spectrum, I heard from a mother that was exactly what was happening to her daughter. Exactly. 15, 16-year-old daughter suddenly started to identify a certain way, also on the autism spectrum. And when the mother pulled her out of the school she was in, she started to change. The school was pushing this. The school was ready to announce that this girl was actually a boy and had counseled the girl, if your parents don't affirm it, we can get you pulled out of the house. This was in another country. So yeah, the backlash is going to be terrible. In the meantime, these kids are the guinea pigs and the activists are the ones that are really guilty because they're pushing this irresponsibly. So obviously this is terribly frustrating. You're a trained professional. You're an academic. You're helping people, and there is an illogical, irrational war against what you're doing. What's the best way for our listeners and viewers to fight back and to allow people to be helped and get the help they desire?
There are a few practical things they can do right now. One is go on reintegrativetherapy.com, look at the information you like. A documentary came out on our work, I think within the last year. You can find it on our website. a documentary, a filmmaker went and found some of our clients and asked them to do interviews. And these guys gave their testimonials, and it's an incredible short, fast film about these individuals telling their stories about how they left homosexuality. And these are not some kind of self-hating, homophobe guys. They're just guys. One guy was sexually abused. He said, this impacted my sexuality. Another man was a man who was a deep man of faith. And he said, look, you know, I want to live in accordance with my values. And I want that right to explore that as I choose. Another man said, it wasn't any of that. I'm not even religious, not that. It's just that I already had a gay identity and gay experiences for years, but eventually I found it dissatisfying. I just chose to explore heterosexuality. And we see profiles of different people who are absolutely never depicted in the media.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're getting this out. Friends, again, reintegrativetherapy.com. We've also posted on Facebook and YouTube, once again, the link to sign to push back against Amazon's banning of Dr. Nicolosi Sr.'s books. And remember, friends, it's not just his books. It's what he stands for. It's standing for the possibility of change and helping people that want to pursue change. And this is just a domino effect. He's just at the top of the list, but another book after another could be under assault. There's no question about it. Have you followed any of the controversy about this paper, Effects of Therapy on Religious Men Who Have Unwanted Same-Sex Attraction, peer-reviewed, published by top people, Catholic Medical Association put it out, and then it was challenged at a statistical level, and then there was a response by the authors, but ended up getting retracted. Have you followed that at all? Because what I see is the moment you put something out, it's going to come under unusual attack.
Absolutely. You can do something with standard practices and publish it, and then under political pressure, the journal will sometimes retract they'll retract the study, and it's because they're scared. And the journal editors who are scared of offending people with scientific data, what they're doing is they're actually creating a big problem for themselves in the long run. Because once you retract a study because people became offended, now there's blood in the water and more piranhas are going to come. And Amazon thinks that they're doing a smart thing by banning books that offend people. That's a big, big mistake in the long run, because where are we going to go next? By the way, the person who started a petition to get our books removed from Amazon, he was quoted in a recent interview admitting he had never even read any of the books. He was literally just offended at their titles. Mm. And when we take people being offended as having the final say, and we retract scientific data or books because it offends people, we are starting ourselves on a long road, and we're only encouraging outrage culture and outrage mobs to have the final say. And many individuals are seeing this. I was on Dennis Prager's show a couple of days ago. He was talking about this. And Dr. Brown, you and I and many others, I'm sure many of your listeners, we're watching this, and we have to know. We have to be clear with ourselves. In fact, Jordan Peterson personally talked with me about this. We cannot let outrage mob mentality silence us.
Nope.
Our job is not to be rude, not to be disrespectful, not to join them in name calling, but to stand our ground. And when we stand our ground, what happens is the outrage mob can't hold their outrage for very long. They will eventually back down and look for another target who they can intimidate. And unfortunately, Amazon didn't do that.
Yeah, well, we're going to push back against Amazon. Truth will triumph. Dr. Nicolosi, keep doing what you're doing. We're standing together. Soon enough, we'll be looking back on this incident from the other side. God bless you, man. Be strong.
God bless you. Thank you.